And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
All day long, the 13th.
13th day of June.
And Joe Barner's in with me.
Yeah. Good to be here.
Yeah.
On what looks like it's going to be a rainy day.
Yeah, I was kind of looking. I kind of stuck the radar up there and was taking a look at that. Looks like some red and some yellow coming this way. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, we can handle the rain. It's the
the storms can stay
really
away.
Really strong storms and tornadoes and things of that nature that we really don't want to see.
No, we want to say
do
goodbye.
So
to
much
that.
Damage.
Yeah. I'm not a storm person. There's some people that thrive off of that.
Oh yeah, a fellow used to live across the street from us. They would get out when it was stormy and look around at the sky and take pictures. And he was kind of a weather enthusiast as well. So
I noticed yesterday, I believe it was on Facebook, there was a guy, and it says "There's a time to take shelter" was the headline on it. And there was a guy sitting in his chair up on top of the roof watching the storm come through. I'm sitting there, man, you just, but anyway, there's a lot of people like to do that kind of stuff. I just got a little bit more common sense. I'm not going to stand out where it's thundering and lightning and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I remember my nephew at one time drove a Jeep pickup.
Yeah.
And in that movie about the tornadoes, the storm chasers in a Jeep pickup, he said, that's an awful thing to do to a Jeep pickup.
That's bad. that's bad. Yeah, it's really bad.
Well, this morning we'll be back in the Psalms.
Okay.
Here on Missionary Radio, and we'll be in Psalm 119.
All right.
That's the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. Someone said it's longer than 30 entire books in the Bible. I'll take their word for it.
It's lengthy.
But we're not going to cover the whole thing, but some selected verses out of the Psalm 119.
I was going to say we won't make it an hour, for sure.
But it's always focused on the Word of God, so it's amazing that the writer was able to do that.
Amen. Well, let's do a song by After Grace.
Hey, while we're talking about the Word of God, let's talk about the Bible Drive.
Well, sure, we can do
because
that.
Because we believe we want to get the hands of the Word of God into the hands of as many people as we can. And one way we can do that is take some Bibles off of our shelf.
Yep.
Ones that we're not using. Don't take one that you're using.
That's right.
And put it into circulation.
I got me a brand new one.
But if you have an old Bible.
I do. I might just.
You can donate.
I might just do that.
Maybe you have a number of them on the shelf.
No, I've only got one
you
other
can live
one,
without. Okay.
But
I've got a number of study Bibles that I use that I'm not going to donate those.
Yeah, because you use them.
Yeah, because I'm still using. But put those Bibles into circulation at the Missionary Radio Bible Drive. We're partnering with
Cedar Bluff Baptist Church
of Princeton. That's kind of their mission.
Yeah.
And the location of that Bible Drive is
Second Baptist Church
in front of the Activities Building, 720 West 7th Street, Hopkinsville, next Friday evening.
That's
from
right.
From 4 until 6 o'clock. So bring your Bibles, round them up, and we'll put them into circulation. Get them in the hands of people that are hungry for the Word of God.
We're going to be live that day, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Joe, you going to be there?
I intend to be.
All right. So I know Ken and Andrew and probably Joe. I don't know who else. I know I'm going to be here where it's nice and cool. I'm going to be running the board.
Well, there are some large shade trees over there.
That's good. That's good. Maybe it won't be raining, too. So.
Let's hope so.
But anyway, yeah, remember the Bible Drive. And remember, Bibles only.
Yes.
That's what we're looking for. Okay.
I am Brother Mark Fong, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, used Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
Recently, I was talking to a longtime friend about Christian radio in general. He said something that impacted me specifically. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio. He said, I'm glad you're listener-funded. I enjoy listening without a long time of interruptions, he said. Missionary Radio is 100% listener-funded. The truth is, It's time to share with you that summer slowdown has hit us early this year. We had a great fundraiser in the spring, but the actual funds are not coming in adequately to meet the expenses. We are praying and sharing with you the need is great. We believe we can remain listener-funded with your generous help. We know you are our partner in this ministry and you want to know. Send your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville 42241, or go online to missionary.radio, click on Donate, and use your credit or debit card through Cornerstone Payment System. I'm not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. Thank you for your partnership in ministry with Missionary Radio.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
Welcome back to the Front Porch on this Friday.
Well, Brian, how do you feel about instruction manuals?
You know, as being a man, a lot of times I do not look at an instruction manual, okay. but then I get kind of, you know, like, well, where does this go? And then I'll pick it up and I'll look at it.
You're kind of a man after my own heart then.
Yeah. I try to put it together myself if I can. But that's not a good idea when you're talking about, you know, doing things for Jesus and stuff.
Well, they tell us wise people take advantage of instruction manuals, but how many of us like to use them?
Yeah.
Some of us, Brian and myself, like to muddle through when putting something together, and then when we get stumped,
then
I'll say, Rachel, what does the instruction manual say?
Yeah, what does it say? I want to know.
Well, instruction manuals come in handy when we're trying to learn how to work a new vehicle.
Oh, yes.
A new appliance, or if you're undertaking a new building project, maybe just putting a piece of furniture together.
Mm-hmm.
If we admit it, we can look pretty foolish if an instruction manual is within reach and we don't use it and end up with a disaster.
That's true.
And you also end up with extra parts.
That's true, too. Very true. That happens sometimes.
Well, as we try to navigate our lives, we're wise when we give serious attention to God's Word, because it is our instruction manual for life with Him. When we get into the Scripture, we're getting His instruction for walking with Him, and through His Word, He reveals Himself and His direction for us. Now, Psalm 119 is all about getting into God's Word, using various words describing God's Word in all 176 verses. If you're familiar with church history, and if you're not, I'm going to fill you in slightly.
Thank you.
During the days of the Protestant Reformation, one of the rallying cries of Martin Luther and the other reformers was the Latin term sola scriptura. Say that, sola scriptura.
Sola scriptura.
There you go. That means scripture only.
Okay.
It's a Latin term. Now you speak Latin.
Oh, well, I'll probably forget it by the days of which.
Well, these reformers committed themselves to the absolute exclusive authority of Scripture. It holds authority over church tradition and over the authority of any man, what that man might say. Regardless of whatever men might say, they believed that only what God declared in His Word was binding. So in other words, everything in the church and Christian living must be regulated by Scripture and Scripture alone. I agree with him.
I agree with that.
Sola scriptura.
Yes.
When called to account for his teaching and declarations amid pressure to recant what he had said, including the Bible's teaching that salvation is by faith in Christ alone, Martin Luther declared, "I am bound to the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not retract anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. God help me. Amen." Well, the writer of Psalm 119 would have agreed that the Scriptures are sufficient for all of life. So for 176 verses, he reminds us of the power of God's Word. And you'll notice if you look at Psalm 119 that it's divided up in sections of 8 verses.
Okay.
With each section is based, I believe, on a letter of the Hebrew alphabet.
Okay.
Now, we won't cover all those verses this morning, so you can breathe a sigh of relief. But we'll be focusing on the first 16 as well as some selected verses from Psalm 119. So let's begin. Brian, would you read the first four verses of Psalm 119?
Blessed are those, and try that again, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. They also do it, do not, they also do note in iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently.
So like in Psalm 1 last week, we encountered that word translated happy or blessed right away in those first couple of verses. It describes the overflowing delight, the deep-seated joy, and the supreme satisfaction experienced by all who devote themselves to consistent study of God's Word and to seeking to live out its teachings. The Scriptures are described in verse 1 as the law of the Lord, or as the Lord's instructions. What can we say about that, with the Scripture being the law of the Lord or the Lord's instructions? I think we've already kind of gone there a little bit with relating it to an instruction manual life.
Yes.
And how God wants us to live.
Mm-hmm.
And God's laws are given to help us live life to the fullest. God's way of instructing us in how to be happy and fulfilled. And when we pay attention to his word, we can be blameless or undefiled in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
Later in verse 3, that we would do no wrong but follow his ways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we follow his word and seek the Lord, we'll not necessarily be perfect.
That's right. We're never going to be perfect.
But when we do fail to live up to his word, we can take to heart the promises in the word.
Yes.
That when we confess our sin and repent, he will forgive and restore us.
Yes.
I love the promise of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have to claim that promise often.
Oh, yes.
Well, verse 2 reminds us of the blessedness of keeping his decrees and seeking him with all our heart. The desire of our hearts comes into play here.
Mm-hmm.
The text says that we should seek him with all of our hearts.
Yes.
Now you ask, what might it mean to seek the Lord with all of our hearts? Well, that's with the entirety of our inner being.
Inner being, yeah.
Our mind, our intellect, and someone used the term volition.
Yeah.
That's the making of choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are to seek him, Lord, help me in this choice that I'm facing today.
Yes, yes.
To choose what you would have me to choose. As our lesson writer described it, seeking the Lord is a life characterized by ongoing, persistent prayer. Asking the Lord for discernment to understand his word and his guidance to practice it. I like the way prayer is woven into the verses of Psalm 119.
Yes.
It's our response to God's word many times, and it's a good prayer to pray. In fact, there's a model prayer on down in Psalm 119, verses 33 through 37, a model prayer to pray. When we read God's word,
teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in them. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way.
I like to look sometimes at paraphrases or different translations, how things are rendered.
Sure, sure.
And in the contemporary English version, I use BibleGateway.com so you can switch from one to another very easily.
Mm-hmm.
It says, point out your rules, Lord, and I won't disobey even one of them. Help me to understand your law. I promise to obey it with all my heart. Direct me by your commands. I love to do what you say. Make me want to obey you rather than to be rich. And take away my foolish desires and let me find life by walking with you. Now, that's a good sample of what it means to seek the Lord.
Yes.
As well with all of our hearts.
All our hearts.
As we go into the Word, Lord, help me to heed what I see here in your Word, what you're trying to say to me.
Yes.
And as James put it, we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So we'll come back and talk more about Psalm 119 after Pen from the Heart here on Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you all for your diligence and heart to spread God's word. I am blessed daily by this station. God bless. From Princeton, thank you for all your hard work. May God bless this radio work. Also from Clarksville, praying for y'all, thanks for all you do. And from Gracie, you all bless me every day. I love Chuck Swindoll. May this gift help spread the word, which we know will not return void.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
We're talking about the Word of God and its value to us. In fact, it is so valuable that the writer of Psalm 119 took 176 verses to describe the Word of God. He's also reminding us that loving God leads to walking in His way and to keeping His commands. So loving the Lord means that we will obey the Lord. We can say we love the Lord.
Yes.
But do we obey the Lord?
That's
Do we
it.
Prove it?
That's it.
In fact, obedience is the focus of Psalm 119, verses 5 and 6.
"Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments."
I think there's a sense of honesty in verse 5 where the writer says, "If only my ways were committed to keeping your statutes or decrees." Do you get the sense that he's saying, "Lord, that's what I want to do, but don't always find myself doing it"?
It's true, yeah.
Give me a long obedience in your direction, as he responds to the Lord's word, more than just head knowledge or more than just empty emotional feelings.
Sure.
Help me obey your statutes consistently. Now, those statutes are decrees, are like a fence that God has put up. It's not a fence to create moral boundaries to restrict us, but to protect us. We should not be ashamed of obeying God's commands, but just ashamed when we don't obey them.
Sure.
Obedience, in fact, leads to praise in verses 7 and 8.
"I will praise you with the uprightness of the heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly."
Now, the scripture produces singing and rejoicing in the Lord as we learn God's word and as we study it, as we obey it. The Lord fills our hearts with joy and praise to Him with a song.
Yes.
We can praise Him with an upright heart. And with that joy, deep happiness, that blessedness that comes from learning the word of God and obeying it, in verse 8, the writer says, "I want that feeling to continue." He says to the Lord, "Do not forsake me." And he does so because without the presence of the Lord, where is our joy, Brian?
It's nowhere.
It goes missing without the presence of the Lord.
Yep.
So in these verses, the psalmist declares the full sufficiency of God's word in the life of the believer who loves it and who obeys it. Now, before we move on to some more of Psalm 119, let's look at this prayer that I found in the Holman commentary. God, we thank you for the priceless treasure you have entrusted to us in your written word. We rejoice in the many promises that we find in its pages for our strength and encouragement. We pray that as we get into the word, it will get into us in a life-changing way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I was reminded of a song from the first days of the Gaither Vocal Band when Bill Gaither decided, I want to sing with a quartet.
Okay.
And they had a song called Into the Word. And it started, I'm happy to say, happy to hear that you're into the Word. But then, is the Word getting into you?
That's a good question, is it?
And is it making an impact in the way you live, the way you walk, the way you talk?
Yes.
Well, we see in Psalm 119, 9 through 11, that there's value in God's word for helping the young and the old stay on the path of purity.
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart.
That I might not sin against
that
you.
That I might sin against you. There you go. I was here thinking, yeah, okay, that's the rest of it.
That's an important part of that verse.
Yes.
So how can we keep our way pure? In verse 9, he asks, well, by reading and heeding God's word, by obedience to what we find there. And that obedience stems from a heart that seeks the Lord, a heart that reads God's word and then responds to God with the prayer, God, do not let me stray from your commands.
Amen.
And the bottom line is all in our response to God's word. Scripture alone has the power to keep a person. Here it says a young person, but I think it's true for older, more experienced saints as well.
Yes.
To keep from straying into sin, the word has a sanctifying power, you might say. So if we hide God's word in our hearts, God's Spirit can bring that scripture to mind when we're tempted to sin. Remember what Jesus used in the scripture when he was tempted in the wilderness after fasting 40 days in the wilderness, and the devil came to him with three different temptations? And the common response of Jesus every time was, it is written.
It is written, yep.
God's word says.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have God's word in our minds and in our hearts, when temptation comes, I can't go there.
That's right.
I don't want to go there because
I don't want to go there.
Here's what God's word says.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Our best defense.
Yes.
The other day, while reading an old edition of Our Daily Bread, I read this challenge from one of the writers, David McCaslin, who said, if we spent 15 minutes a day reading God's word, he said, what if we spend 15 minutes a day reading God's word? 15 minutes a day adds up to 91 hours a year. You think that'll have an impact on us?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For whatever amount of time we decide to read the Bible each day, consistency is the secret. The key is not perfection, but persistence. So if we miss a day or two, pick it up. Start reading again.
You know, I can remember, Joe, my dad read the Bible through, I think, 4 or 5 times. And, you know, he told me one time, he said, every time I read it, I see something different.
Yeah.
Every time.
Every time.
You see something different. So that means you're learning something different every time you take and read it.
That's because you have a Holy Spirit.
That's it.
As your teacher.
That's it.
So as the Holy Spirit teaches us, God's word moves from our minds to our hearts, and then it moves to our hands and our feet, taking us beyond education to transformation. So when we go to God's word, we might pray something like this. I turn to you, the author, to teach me as I read your word today. I want to hear from you, to know you, and to grow closer to you. Remember, the Bible is the only book whose author is always present. That's when right. It's read.
Amen. Amen.
You ever read a book and you, boy, I wish the writer was here so I could ask him, what did you mean by that?
What did you mean by that?
What were you thinking when you wrote that?
Well, I'm sure, you know, if you go to Jesus, he'll help you understand it by putting you in the right direction in the Bible to see what he means.
Well, see, that's the advantage of we have as we read the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because the one who wrote it is with us read it.
That's
and
right.
He wants us to understand what he's saying.
He does. He does.
So in verses 12 through 16 of Psalm 119, the psalmist asked God to teach his divine decrees so that he might better obey them. Look at how in verses 12 through 16 that he finds pleasure and blessing in the Word of God.
Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways, and I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
See where the word brings so much joy.
Sure.
Gives praise.
Yes.
The psalmist says, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Some people rejoice a lot in great riches.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I delight in your decrees, Lord. I will not neglect your word. So with the Holy Spirit as our teacher, we can understand what God's telling us in his word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed. The writer's heart is more and more fixed on the goodness of the Lord and of his word.
Amen.
And he realizes it brings out within us praise to God, rejoicing and delight.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that verse 15 encourages us to meditate on God's precepts. What does it mean to meditate on God's word?
Just always keep it in your mind, I guess. Just meditate on it. Just a constant meditation of the word.
Mm-hmm. It's like someone said, it's like holding God's word in your mind, and you look at it from all different angles.
Yeah, yeah.
Observe it in different lights. You look at it in the context of which it is written.
Uh-huh.
And you know, meditation is associated with decreased stress.
Yeah.
Decreased depression, anxiety, pain, and even insomnia.
Oh, yeah.
Don't count sheep. Read the word.
That's right. That's right.
But it's a practice that can also allow God to change our minds. When we think on God's word, when we commit it to memory, when we ruminate and meditate on it, our minds are renewed.
Uh-huh.
And as we meditate on God's word, our behavior will change for the better.
That's right.
Psalm 119, great psalm to ponder. We'll look at it some more after Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope here on Missionary Radio.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope here on Missionary Radio.
Hey, Father's Day is coming up, and while I miss my own daddy today, I want to welcome another good dad who happens to be Senior Vice President of International Ministries here at Johnny and Friends, Steve Bundy. Steve, it's so good to have you here.
Oh, Johnny, it's great to be with you today. And a quick happy Father's Day to all the dads listening.
Right. Now, Steve, you've got a big title here at Johnny and Friends, but the one you probably prize the most is your title as dad. Tell us about your family.
Yeah, that's so true, Johnny. Of all my titles, being husband and father is probably the biggest, and I might add, maybe the hardest. You know, I've been married to my college sweetheart, Melissa, for 32 years now. I asked her to marry me within the first year of our dating. I was so captured with her. And we have two wonderful boys.
Yeah.
Our first son, his name is Caleb. And Caleb is 26 years old today, Johnny.
Oh, today's happy birthday, to Caleb.
Caleb was born with a rare chromosome deletion that's resulted in muscular dystrophy, autism, and severe intellectual disabilities. We call him our full package. Our second son is Jaron. He's 22 years old and graduating this year from Belmont University.
Oh, my.
He is a gifted musician and music producer and a great great brother to Caleb.
Mm. Well, Steve, you and Caleb were actually Heart for the Disabled recipients when he was only 5 years old. So working at Johnny and Friends and fatherhood, how has that shaped you?
Not only were we recipients for Heart for the Disabled, but that was about the time we experienced our first Johnny and Friends family retreat. And I got to say, Johnny, being here for 18 years, it has shaped not only my faith, but my heart. And probably what stands out the most is really gaining, I think, a greater perspective of the sovereignty of God and God's purposes and his plans for not only my life, but for Caleb's and for my entire family. You know, there's a great comfort that comes when we are able to place our lives in faith and in trust in God and his sovereignty and his plans. And it really helps the father, not only if life is chaotic and disturbing and frustrating because your child is suffering with disability, but to know that God is indeed faithful and his promises yes. are true.
Well, what strikes me most about your story is just how overwhelming and difficult it was as Caleb got older. You didn't back down, and you charged into that wholeheartedly. There was a new set of routines once Caleb grew up.
Yeah, it's so true, Johnny. You know, life with disability, often people think it gets harder, but it often gets more difficult, more challenging. And that was the case with Caleb. You know, his physical functions began to decrease as he got bigger and became a young man. His autism and behaviors got more severe. His mind continued to be very limited in terms of his cognition. And so life for us was hard, and it still is to this day, quite honestly. We've had to adapt to a lot. And as hard as it's been, Johnny, I've learned that God meets us in the dark places. Mm. And when he meets us in the dark places, his spirit gives us the gift of long suffering. He allows us to suffer long and to love well those he's placed in our lives.
What would you say to a new father who just found out that his child has a disability? Do you have words of advice?
No matter your circumstance or that of your child, God loves you. He's not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. He has plans and purposes for your life, your child's life, and your family. Lean into him. Trust him. His promises are true.
Steve, I want to thank you. And I encourage special needs dads listening today to read Another Kind of Courage. It's available at johnnyradio.org, where you will find a link to Steve's book, and you'll be able to download one of the book's chapters for free. It's our Father's Day gift to you, so happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Johnny.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. A professor one day demonstrated to his class the power of an electromagnet. He placed 2 pounds of nails on a table with the wires of an electromagnet under the table. When he flipped the switch, the nails came together, and he was able to form the nails into various shapes as long as the current was on. When the current was cut, the nails fell back into a pile. This reminds us that as long as the current of God, the Holy Spirit, runs through us, we have unity, and God can form us into any shape he chooses for his purpose. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7. Missionary Radio.
Well, we've talked about the first 16 verses of Psalm 119. Got, about 150 to go.
I don't believe we're going to make that today.
So this skimmed through a couple of good verses, the rest of that psalm. Verse 18 of Psalm 119 is a great scriptural prayer to pray as we read and study and meditate on God's Word.
Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law.
So when you go into the Word, when you're reading God's Word, that's a good prayer to pray. Lord, open my eyes. Help me see wonderful things in your Word today. In his little book, 52 Weeks Through the Psalms, Pastor James Merritt comments briefly. He said, in truth, a Christian should sit down with the Bible and expect to find a fully satisfying meal, dessert included.
Amen.
When we open our eyes to the Word of God, we do see wonderful things that God has for us. So dig into the Word. Gorge yourself on it.
Yes.
And before we leave this brief study of Psalm 119, let me highlight how the Lord guides our decisions in our lives through His Word. You probably have to flip the page, Brian. Verses 103 through 105.
I'll get there. 103 to 105. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
The word of God, sweeter than honey.
Sweeter than honey. And me and Joe like honey.
We do. You know, that verse, focus in on verse 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my mm-hmm. path. When we walk in darkness, we're more likely to stumble.
Yes.
The pathway is unclear. Obstacles mm-hmm. remain unseen. I remember there was one afternoon, I was the last one out of the missionary radio studios.
Yes.
Well, Ken had turned the light off.
Shame on you, Ken. No,
and I said, Ken, after 40 years, don't worry about it. Says, I can find my way out.
Familiar enough
with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have a little bit of light,
it helps.
You can see the obstacles. I remember going down to our family farm after it had been hit by a tornado.
Yeah.
And I went at night. And that day, the fellows had come with a large track hoe to knock down the farmhouse, which mm-hmm. was a total loss.
Mm-hmm.
So with the house gone, I had a small flashlight in my truck, and I kind of walked up to there, and I got disoriented and nearly fell into a big hole in which they were burying the debris. It was probably 15 feet deep or so.
That wouldn't be good, Joe.
Well, the flashlight was not one of those military-grade, high-powered flashlights. But, you know, God's Word's even better than those high-powered flashlights.
Yes.
Because in life, we can get a little disoriented.
Absolutely.
Not knowing which way to go. But God's Word helps us, and it's like a lighthouse.
Yes.
That guides us safely into heaven's harbor. That would make a good Southern gospel song.
You think so?
There's a lighthouse on the hillside.
That might do it. It might be a pretty good song.
It's already been done.
It's been done.
But going back to our opening illustration of God's Word being an instruction manual for life, our guide for life, let me close with this memory from Max Lucado. We'll talk some more about the Word of God, but let me close this section. He said, I wish I'd sought counsel before I made a recent decision. Mm-hmm. I woke early one morning for a meeting, and when searching for some breakfast, I spotted a plastic bag of cookies in the kitchen. Max Lucado said, Denlin and our daughter, Sarah, had just attended a school bake sale, and so I thought, what great luck. Breakfast cookies.
Uh-huh.
Denlin must have set them out for me. I ate one and found it to be very chewy, almost gummy. You're guessing where this is going. I can see it.
Well,
interesting texture, I thought. Reminds me of pita bread. And I ate a second, and the taste was a bit subtle for my preference. But when mixed with coffee, it made for an interesting option. I grabbed a third for the road, and I would have grabbed the fourth one, but only one remained, and so I left it for Denlin. Later in that day, she phoned. Looks like someone has been in the bag. It was me, I admitted. I've had better breakfast cookies, but those weren't bad.
Mm.
Max, those weren't breakfast cookies. They weren't. No. What were they?
I'm going to say some of those dog treats or cat treats.
Homemade dog biscuits.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
He said, that explained a lot. I should have consulted the maker, and we need to consult ours. You have a Bible.
Yes.
Read it.
Read it.
In fact, Mercy Me reminds us that the Word of God has great power. Word of God, speak.
Yes.
It's not so important what we might say, but what the Word of God says.
That's it.
In the little bit of time that we have remaining, Pastor Ed Young asked the question, why should I study the Bible? A lot of people will come with that question, and it's we find that the Bible itself is more than just a collection of ancient writings. How does it describe itself in 2 Timothy 3:16? How does Paul describe the Word of God?
I'm sorry, I was getting ahead of you there. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
So it's very useful.
Very useful.
So here are four key reasons why reading and meditating on God's Word is vital for us to experience the full and thrilling life of faith. First reason is to grow spiritually. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3.
I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is a jealousy and a quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?
So God's Word is a feast, rich with truth and nourishment for the soul, and equips us to move beyond spiritual infancy and walk confidently in faith, claiming the promises He has given for us. Another reason to immerse ourselves in Scripture is to overcome sin.
Amen.
That verse that we read from Psalm 119:11, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against God. It brings us joy and blessing, and studying the Bible prepares us for action. Look at Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8.
Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always in your lips, or on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Well, our success is dependent on our commitment to the Word of God. So let's get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into us.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch on this Friday.